Selling is the reward for, you know, for helping people get what they wanted anyway. Maybe show them that something better is available. Make sure they can get it. Make it easy. Yeah, they'll be very happy.
From The C Method, my name is Christina Canters, and this is Stand Out, Get Noticed, the podcast that helps you communicate with confidence and clarity so you can get what you want in business and in life. To subscribe to the show and download the back catalogue, go to thecmethod.com/podcast. Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Christina Canters. And if you work with clients at all, this episode is for you. Now, being successful as a creative, like a graphic designer or a musician, or like this week's guest, a photographer, isn't easy. Competition is really high, clients often don't see the value in your work, and it's often hard for you to show clients why they should choose you over everyone else. Well, my guest this week is making a very successful living as a photographer. He only shoots on weekends, he's always booked out, and in fact he has to turn clients away, and each client happily pays him thousands of dollars for each job. And we're not talking commercial jobs for businesses here. No, his clients are everyday couples and families. So how does he do it? You're about to find out. I'm very excited to introduce you to this week's guest, photographer extraordinaire and my friend Arik Reinjuk. I really hope I pronounced that right. We actually met at a business networking event and we connected through our mutual love of podcasts. And since then, I've learned a lot about all the awesome things he does to create an unforgettable experience for each and every client. And I just knew I had to get him on the show, as this show is all about standing out and getting noticed, which he does very well. So we met up at Hub Melbourne, my co-working space, to have this conversation, which is why it's a little bit echoey, but it's still good. You can still hear everything. Anyway, I hope you enjoy the conversation as much as I did. So without further ado, please meet the man behind Melbourne's most meaningful portraits, Arik Reinjuk. This is cool. I've been looking forward to this.
So was I. I'm a long-time listener to many podcasts. First time on this side of the mic.
Yeah, because that's how we first met, actually, wasn't it? We connected over our love of podcasts.
Yes. I remember from your speech you had really nice diction, and you mentioned podcasts. And I said, wow, that adds up. So that's why I went to talk to you.
So what are your favorite podcasts at the moment?
I do listen to Joe Rogan. I know you don't like him. It's a little vulgar. It's not for everyone, but it's nice and long, so it's great for long drives.
Yeah, see, I'm the opposite. I can't deal with 3-hour episodes.
And to me, shorter podcasts, they are annoying because you have to stack them up and put one after another. Mm. But I listen to those as well. Mm. Like The Truth, it's one of my favorites. Also, Hardcore History.
Yes, you introduced me to that one. By Dan Carlin.
Dan Carlin is, epic history podcasts.
Yeah. I remember you told me about that first when you were looking for a podcast to put you to sleep. So you thought, oh, this history podcast will put me to sleep. 3 hours later, you're absolutely glued to your headphones. Yes. Can't turn it off.
Yeah, so before I was a full-time photographer, but when I was a student studying, doing my PhD, I couldn't sleep at night because it was overwhelmed with my thoughts and projects and everything. And I needed something to get me to sleep. And my first podcast, I thought, radio, I can play back whenever I want. His show has put me to sleep. So I found this first history show that popped up in the search results, started listening to it and hoping that I'll be 15 minutes later, I'll be asleep. And I was still up at 3 a.m. and switching to the next episode. Yeah.
So that's Hardcore History.
By Dan Carlin.
Dan Carlin, yes.
It's way on the top, so you will find it. Yeah.
So the reason I really wanted to have you on the show as a guest is because I think you do something pretty amazing. And you're a photographer. And yes. You have been for how long?
4 years or so.
4 years.
Yeah.
And you are constantly booked out. You charge a premium for your services.
Yes.
You don't have a huge online presence.
Not at all.
You don't focus on Facebook ads.
No.
You don't tweet.
You don't really do any of that stuff.
I do have a Facebook presence. It's just humming along, as I say. It's just out there.
It hasn't been a focus.
No,
for you.
Not at all. It's been a
And the thing I like about you is that you are very, very client focused, and you focus very much on the customer experience. And I got to experience this myself, not so much as a customer, but maybe a potential customer.
Maybe.
But as a guest in your gallery. And I just wanted to tell the people who are listening, so Arik lives in Belgrave, and it's a beautiful leafy area and outer suburb of Melbourne. And I went there to visit his gallery, and it was this beautiful space. It was all black and white. Everything was themed and matched, and he had this beautiful handmade chair that he called his throne.
It's not a chair, is it?
Okay, sorry. It's a throne. And with a matching
sofa.
I was going to say couch, but
no, it's a sofa.
Smack me over.
You know what the difference is?
What's the difference?
Apparently, sofa stands on little legs, and couch is basically like a box on the ground.
Right. This was no box on the ground. This was beautiful. And he had all his, and he had his work displayed on the walls, and it was just so beautiful. A fireplace there. And one thing that I really loved was that you actually had a quill that clients signed the contract with.
Yes.
And I thought that was amazing. And so everything, all these little details were just taken care of.
Yeah.
And
There is also tea that I welcome clients with. They will sit down over tea.
It's not just any tea.
No. It's a French Earl Grey. but also, like, I recently got, I had it for a long time, but now I actually found a way I can do it more often. I've got a hot wax stamp as well that we seal contracts with.
Wow. Okay. You know, I'd love to. Okay. So before we get into all this stuff, because there are a lot of things that you do, I want to take it back to why did you start doing this, and what gave you the idea to actually start doing this in the first place?
Right, but if you have to remind a little bit more, because there's lots of types of photography.
Okay, all right, let's start with that. Okay.
And I do portraits of regular people, and usually I photograph their relationships. So it's all about people that they value the most in life, be that their partner, their kids, or, you know, dog, for example. So I don't do single people. I don't do anything like that. I don't do real estate. Don't do any other type of photography. I specialize in this one, and that's actually very important to find your niche and specialize in something. But when I decided to start my business, that was after a couple of years when I was doing it part-time as a hobby that went into something people wanted to pay me for it. When I decided to start it over again, after getting some advice from, you know, business coaches and industry specialists who, you know, set up studios, had to come up with a name. And that was a 4-month process, because I knew everything depends on it, you know, the whole branding from there on. And I had this wild idea that I should have a brand that I can split up and do what's so-called market segmentation. I think that's the smart word for it. It's basically creating a brand that can appeal to your target market. So very finely defined target market. So as I said, I do portrait photography. I do families, couples, and pets. And I split portraits into those subcategories. So when a couple is looking for anniversary portraits or engagement portraits, they would find one of my sub-brands and its relevant website with proper portfolio just in that, and relevant content. Dog owners would find me via my different website.
So what's the name of your overall brand?
Overall brand is called Five Castles Portraits. So there's five castles. We got Sandcastle that represents this transient nature of kids growing up.
So that's for the children.
That's for the families, yes. So it's, you know, playful summer kids, but also, as I say, talk about how transient it is. That's why, because kids keep growing up and parents would say they grow up too fast. Just like sandcastles fall into sea eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah. By Jimi Hendrix. I've got Silver Castle that represents a stronghold for couples and the jewelry and stuff like that. We also have Pet Castle Portraits. That's obviously for pet owners. I have a dedicated castle for same-sex couples. It's called Dorothy's Castle. Some of the listeners would know what Dorothy used to stand for. used to be code word back in the day for the community.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
So the actress who played Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz, original one, she was a gay icon. You know, people used to look up to her. I'm not sure whether she was gay herself, but she was a big, like Elizabeth Taylor and Cher, you know, this kind of stuff. Yeah, but apparently when I was coming up with a name for individual castles, this one was very problematic. So I asked lots of my friends, and yeah, this one came up very quickly and couldn't be beaten by anything else. Because it used to be, back in the day, I don't know, 80s or 70s, when someone asked you in the bar, for example, are you a friend of Dorothy's? So you have
right.
to, yeah, you have to have the right answer for that. Because that was basically gently asking you whether you, you know, you would be into them. Yes, and so that's four castles. So I had a five castle, which I left for future, as I had no idea what to do with it. And actually, I recently came up with it.
Did you?
Yes, I don't have a name for it yet.
Okay.
I kind of, because along my journey as a small business, I've helped a lot of other friendly small businesses with their stuff. I did business portraits for them, not to confuse them with headshots, which I call passport photos. A headshot, if you had just a head on a white background, that's a passport photo for me. A business portrait is more about showing what you do. So people, when they go on your website or see your image anywhere, they will immediately figure out what you do without even reading about you, you know, section on the website.
What would be an example of a business photo?
A business portrait would be, for example, a business owner or business person or a worker in his environment doing his stuff. So, for example, you know, creatives would, you know, there would be different style of portrait for creative, different stuff for an accountant, different for financial planner. And I, you know, I've done them all along the years. And now
so like
I know
in their office?
Yeah,
or
so
with
in
the
office.
Or
yeah,
presenting?
Yeah. But okay. We try to. So I use the same approach I do with my other clients. So we always sit down first and we figure out exactly what we need to do. Because they don't really know what they want. Mm. They just need business portraits, or they need headshots, as they come to me with. And then we grow from there. And that started to become a distinct foundation for the castle. So now, because I've got my main business website, the Five Castles, is basically a photograph, animated photograph of a painting that I had commissioned. I showed you that one.
Mm.
So the fifth castle was under wraps. Now I'll have to have it painted over. So yeah, I don't know what it's going to look like yet. I think it's going to be something like a glass kind of castle, like skyscraper kind of this, mix those two. Don't have the name yet. Yeah, but yeah, that's going to be that.
I like that. You're leaving room for the future. You know,
yes.
You know that something's going to happen
yes.
in the future,
yes.
and I'm going to prepare myself
yes.
for that.
Because now it will be very hard to start something new. And now I have everything under one umbrella brand, but I can still market them separately.
What happens if you want six castles? What happens then? Five and a half.
maybe
I'll start
a different
segment. Will have to go.
Different kingdom.
Ooh.
And castles actually was a great idea. My wife actually came up with it. She came up with the Sand Castle, the first one, and we built from there on.
So you've got these very distinct segments. When you go out and you meet people, they say, oh, what do you do?
Okay.
You say?
I usually figure out what they would expect me to do.
Oh, I like this.
Yeah,
because
okay. You have to have a special message for everyone, right? So, for example, when I'm walking my dogs and I see another dog owner and we get to talk about it and they ask me what I do, then I pull out my pet castle business card, which is made out of wood in the shape of a dog bone.
It's amazing, actually.
Have you seen it? Yes.
Yes, you show me that. It's a ridiculously cool business card.
And
it's shaped like a dog bone.
Specific to them. And they would never throw it out. When I'm at networking events, when I'm talking to other business owners, I just pull out my generic five castles.
Mm.
When I'm talking to families or couples, I've got different cards for that.
What if you don't know if they're a family?
Then
or
I
a
say
couple?
My generic thing that I help people celebrate what's most important in their lives. And then that they usually ask, what do you mean?
Wait, say that again. So people ask you what you do.
I say, I help people celebrate what they value the most in their lives.
I love that. And then they go,
yes, because then
do
we
you need?
Yes, because then we wait for their question and then we can say that, you know, I can say, you know, if I'm feeling cheeky, I would say I shoot people or something. but usually I say I'm a portrait photographer. And usually they would say, do you do weddings? The next, And I respect wedding photographers a lot. That's the one of the hardest and photography jobs you can get. No do-overs, very stressful, long hours, ever-changing conditions, and, you know, yeah, but I don't do that.
When most photographers, I would imagine, when asked what they do, they would say, I'm a photographer.
Yeah.
And that's quite generic.
Yeah.
That's boring.
Yes.
Which is why I like so much the way that you start that conversation by sharing something that's really different. You're already differentiating yourself. What other things do you do to differentiate yourself? Because we were talking about this before, actually, how being a photographer, there's a very low barrier to entry. You know, it seems like everyone is a photographer these days and trying to make a living from it. So do you have any advice for people who are thinking, man, what can I do to actually just be different? Maybe they're not even a photographer. Maybe they're a graphic designer or a bookkeeper or someone where there's quite a lot of competition.
Mm.
So, what can you start to do?
So the first thing I did was figure out exactly who I want to photograph and how much I want to make from it and how many I have to shoot. Once you know who you want to photograph or who is your ideal client, I basically listed in very fine detail my ideal client for each castle. So I knew, for example, for my couple photography, there would be a couple that are madly in love, but been together longer than a year. That's my cutoff date. If they come to me earlier, I schedule a session after they click over 1 year.
Why?
Because I want it to be very special, and I don't want it to be just, you know, oh, just met someone, you know, we're in the puppy stage, and So I want to reignite this kind of thing in the couples that have been even longer with each other. But basically, I would list all their features. So they would know each other that long. Their average age would be, let's say, 33. They would have no kids. They would go out here and here. They would do this together. Their mates would be doing this. What they would be working where, how much money would be they making, what sort of car they're driving, everything, where they get their coffee. I basically imagined I'm spying on them, and I had a whole list of this thing. And from each feature, I would have a little brackets coming out and saying, how can I reach them there? So I had it basically built in the huge tree that I had very precise portrait of them. And then you target those people and you hopefully get the best ones, but you don't have many of them, but you have everyone around that. So the better you target your ideal client.
You don't get confused with right now you've got the four and soon to be the five.
Yeah.
You don't find that confuses you having the five different or the
no,
so
no,
many different segments?
I would say my ideal client would go through all my through most of my castles. So they would say a single person who loves their dog more than anything. You recognize them by themselves. By the way, if they put their phone in your face and start swiping, showing you pictures of the dog, that's my ideal client. So that's for pet castle. And then when they meet someone special, obviously their partner then would be the focal point. We can still include the dog for couple portraits, but then focus on the couple. And when they have the babies, they come to me and it's a sandcastle portrait.
So they're moving from segment to segment.
Yes. But if they haven't found me before they met someone else or, you know, then obviously they end up in the castle, but it's very, very defined. So if they have children, it's always sandcastle. Children are more important than anything else.
Mm.
But then if we can include the dog, we include the dog. Yes. But what else I do different? I use internet extensively, but I try to get to my clients in, I call it real world. Go back to before the internet age. Because the problem many photographers find these days is that clients always ask about the files. And the files for us, for photographers, are like selling a cow when someone just wants milk. They don't need a 50 mega file that they can print and do anything with it. And usually they don't actually do anything with it. But for us, the file has the biggest value, and that's where you control our quality. And as part of my customer service, I want to make sure they get something beautiful on the wall that's going to last and going to look good as well. So I try to avoid selling the files. And the way I do that is by not talking to them in digital form. Let's put it this way. So
you don't email them.
I don't email them. when they email me, I call them back. And on the phone, we only spend maybe 3 minutes scheduling an appointment. So I invite them over. And when they come in, I'll make sure everyone who is involved in the conversation, so the whole family has to come in, and we'd sit down over tea, take our time, get to know each other.
French Earl Grey.
get to know each other. I've got a little kids corner now, so they don't run havoc in my gallery. But they get to see me before the session, so they're not as shy later on. But then I can talk to the parents and get exactly their part of the story, what they expect from it. And we can plan it out. We can talk about outfits, dates, locations, anything that needs to be talked about. That would take ages over email or a stupid form or be very awkward phone conversation.
It's very easy for people to ignore an email too.
Yes.
So if you email them and say, hey, what do you think of this? Or they can just leave it and then forget about it. We all receive so many emails.
Well, because it might require you to actually write something. Or that's the moment you got the email, you might not have time. You'll put it, I'll do it later on. And then something happens. When you have kids especially, a lot of things can happen and you might not get to it. And then you have other stuff to do. And
are they surprised when you suggest, oh, let's meet up instead of doing this over email or over the phone?
I'm not sure, because I say it as if, I do it for every client. I never forget. For years and years, I haven't forgot someone I haven't seen before. My couple first sessions were like that, and that was weird for me. It was very, as I was waiting at the location. I didn't know whether these were the people, and so that doesn't happen anymore. And I think they expect it, because then after our meeting in person, I'll say to them, can you imagine doing this over the phone? And they go, no, there's no way we could discuss it all.
A lot of photographers do that. They try and do it over email.
Yes. But if the photographers work in a studio, for example, we got a certain style and don't go out of that style, then the clients have to conform to it. So there will be a set, lighting style or background, same outfits. So that's how easily you can, get them to, get the basics. So then they talk about what they mean to the, what the photographs would mean to them. And they try to imagine it, there's lots of things they can do over the phone. But yeah, I find it's much easier to get everyone in, discuss, and then plan ahead. And then when time comes, they see me again.
And then you've already got that rapport with them.
Yes, that's right.
You even work with them. And I can imagine as a photographer, you need them to be really relaxed around you.
Yes.
And this doesn't just apply to photography. This applies to so many different areas where if you're consulting with someone and you know, and the result is based on how you're interacting with that person, having that rapport from the very beginning is really important. And I guess meeting them in person would also allow you to see if there's someone that you don't want to work with.
Yes.
Because you can tell very quickly if they would be really annoying clients.
Yes, I had a couple of those. But so what I do is, for example, wouldn't work in, online industry. You have to be in the same, geographical place, within the, say, half an hour to an hour drive. But the basic is the same. In order to serve your clients in the best possible way, you need to know exactly what they want. And to get what they want, you need to interview them. And because they don't really know what they want most of the time. They just say, generic stuff like headshots or family portrait, but they don't really know what it would look like. They don't know what it was going to be on the wall, how big. They have no idea about any of this. They don't do it every day like we do. So it's great to show them different examples and show them what's possible. For example, for when they come back for the viewing, they ahead of the time, that's the one time they use email. They do send me over email the photographs of the walls with a scale on them so I can put it in my software and present the images as they will appear on the wall. So they...
Oh, so they send you photos of their home walls?
Yes.
So that then you can show them the sizes. Wow.
Yes. So once we make the decisions and we get to the final nitty-gritty, so for example, deciding on the feature image and the wall's going to be... So they're really... talked which walls they would have something on, and they photograph the wall right. I actually send them an app that teaches them how to do it, so they always send it properly. And then we can see their image or the collection on the wall and make sure the size is right, that it matches the decor and everything. It helps a lot. So problems start with they have a holiday house that they don't have a photograph of, but they also want a portrait in there. Then we have to go into the description of the walls and everything. But then they appreciate how much help that actually photo of the wall is.
Yeah.
Again, it's part of the getting exactly what they want. And if you give them the exactly what they want, they will pay for it. Because there's no other excuse.
How much do people pay for portraits these days?
So my average right now, I calculated just last week, is $3,500 per sitting. But it ranges. You know, my highest was $12,000 just recently. But yeah, as I said, it ranges.
Is that including the photos? Is that for the
prints?
The prints.
Yes.
I'm using all the wrong terminology and making you mad.
It includes the photos printed on the mounted on the walls, or it doesn't include the files though.
We continue to chat about the process that Eric goes through with each client when he describes the actual photography session as a, quote, beautiful adventure. What? I had to learn more.
Tell me about this beautiful adventure.
Oh. So that's the thing that I love about photography. And If there are any photographers out there, if you should look up Jesh the Rocks.
How do you spell that?
Jesh, JESHDEROX, okay. I believe. He's a Canadian photographer / poet / artist / anything creative. Explorer of universe, anything. I think he would be happy with any of those titles. But I met him once and he changed basically my whole perspective on photography. And that was one of the most important things I learned about it. But he basically developed this way of photographing people that I've adopted and made my own by this time. But it all focuses on, as I said in the beginning, celebrating people's relationships. So it's basically a series of games and interview techniques and little challenges and things that you basically interact with my clients during the session a lot. I interview them, I have games for them, they, play, talk, laugh, and they forget as a camera. Obviously, I direct everything, so I make sure they're in the right place, they're lit properly. Everything else has to be right. But before I press the button, the shutter, I need to make sure they're at their most comfortable. And they usually ask me after the session whether I was even there taking photos or just had fun with me.
Wow, that's amazing.
And it works amazingly with couples. With families as well. With pet owners, it's a bit different because the dogs don't do that. I mean, dogs are pretty great. Cats are weird.
Cats know what you're doing.
Yes, cats are housemates, basically. They're not pets. I'll get some hate mail for that. So I had, when I do, for example, my couples portraits, the couples usually continue. It's like an intimate date with a stranger with a camera. So we recognize the love and usually either decide to move in or take another step or, but with couples it's even better because before the session, when they meet with me, they get a secret assignment.
List.
So they get a list of assignments that they have to choose. They have to agree on the number of them that they would do. And they have to keep it secret from them. It can be something, like writing a love letter or preparing the most awesome date for the other, but when they prepare the most awesome date, everything has to be done. So they have to buy tickets, book accommodation, whatever, right? Make everything there. So they surprise the partner with that, the most awesome date in there,
And they'd have to do this before you do the shoot.
Yeah. So they prepare it all before the shoot and the big reveal is during the session. But it works in two ways. First of all, or three ways. First of all, it makes them think about the relationship and plan something. Also it's got this excitement because you're planning something in secret. And cannot wait to reveal it. And then also you're wondering what your partner prepared. And on the day, it's a big reveal and usually, laughter, tears and ohs and wows and Yeah.
Wow. Awesome. And then you're there to capture it.
Yes, and I'm there to capture it.
That's incredible.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's why I'm saying it's a beautiful adventure, isn't it? Yeah. And that's like, that's what I love doing. Everything else is just leading to this moment. And then, actually, someone asked me a long time ago, what's my favorite part from the whole process? And I said, I love meeting new people. That's why I like my meetings. Then I love photographing them. I love seeing all this. When I get goosebumps when I photograph them, that's awesome. But then I love seeing them when they see their portraits for the first time. So I love the sales process later on. And I also love when they see the final prints, because they usually cry when they see them. And so I had no idea what's my favorite. So I actually enjoy the whole ride.
You love the sales process.
And because, yeah.
The fact that you, because I know that that's the part that a lot of photographers or creative people, small business people, you know, despise that, or it's just like, oh, I don't want to be silly. But the way you've put it is you're saying that you love actually seeing the reactions on their faces.
Because they're there to buy photographs. Mm. And obviously it all starts from the first moment they touch your brand, when they get the voucher, or when they meet me for the first time, when they see my website or anything like this. They already have to know that we're not talking about discs, we're talking about wall prints. So when they come to me and they see my samples, I ask them what they like and so on, to imagine when they would be. The session is amazing itself. When they say pictures of their own walls to me, so I can present their photographs on their walls, they already bought the pictures for the walls. Mm. So then we're just sitting down and make the selection. I help them basically select the best images from the whole bunch, advise them what would look good here or there, what's good as a wall portrait, what would be better in a different form. So I see myself as a guide, or I help them. And I know what my average is, so if they spend more or less, doesn't matter, because in the end it comes down to that. So there's no stress, no pressure. And you get people who can afford a lot, you get people who don't have that means, but then you have to find a way how to make them get what they wanted. So for example, you know, accepted credit cards these days, everyone should do it. Also payment plans, there are ways you can, you know, hire a company to do it or do it yourself. And it's fairly easy to set up. Yeah. So what selling is a dirty word for, you know, for helping people get what they wanted anyway. Maybe show them that something better is available. Make sure they can get it. Make it easy. Yeah. They'll be very happy. I always try to also put myself in shoes of someone else. So in the same way, my clients, if I was to get photographed with my wife, for example, and we have, what would I want? How would I find the photographer? What do I want the photographer to ask me? What would I want to see from the photographer? And so on and so on. You can apply it to any industry. So when you listen to it, imagine you're your own client and that you have no idea about yourself, but you somehow found your website or whatever your first point of contact is, and then take yourself through that whole experience from their point of view.
Yeah. Any last words of advice for creating exceptional customer experiences for people?
Yes, I think details really matter. I think so it's very easy to just put few ideas into place. That's, you know, it's fairly easy, but to take them to the next level and make something really unique. So, you know, having the right kind of tea, for example, or the right kind of cup for the tea, or the quill instead of a pen, or, if you can see them in person, it's way easier because you can control the space. But online, I think you can also, your whole branding, the way your websites are designed, the way you communicate with them, the language, the font, probably even, you know, the studies that some fonts are better than the others.
Yeah.
Yeah. So every detail counts. If they even don't notice them, they might, you know, next time.
Even the way you dress.
Yes. Yes.
That whole, how you appear physically, that's all part of the brand. I'm thinking, actually, now that I've cut my hair, I need to update my photos.
Only you knew a photographer.
If only I knew a photographer who did portraits. Business portraits.
Yes. You can come up with the castle name.
Yes.
Deal? Yeah.
All right. That's awesome. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
For joining me today.
Thank you.
I know you have a website.
Yes. You can find me on 5castles.com.au. And that's my website. And from there...
Pick The castle you.
And connect with me somehow like that.
Are you a
that.
Dog person? Do you have children?
Yes.
Are you madly in love with your partner? Go find that castle that's for you.
If you live in Melbourne, yes, you can also give me a call. And I'm very happy to meet with you over a tea.
But he will not email you, yes. But
No.
Do try some of that French Earl Grey.
Yes.
It's delicious. Thanks, Eric.
Thank you.
Thanks again to the awesome and inspiring Eric Reinjuk for being such a generous guest this week. I know you're listening, Eric, so thank you personally from the bottom of my heart. And I really hope I pronounced your name correctly. I'll pop links to Eric's 5 castles in the show notes at thecmethod.com/Eric. That's Eric spelled A-R-E-K. Now, did you notice how Eric has an awesome reply when people ask him, "What do you do?" He says, "I help people celebrate what they value most in their lives," which seriously gives me shivers. It's amazing. If you too would like to grab people's attention with a single sentence about yourself, but you're not sure how, there's a free course that helps you with that. Yep, it's my 21-day confidence building course that helps you talk about yourself with confidence and clarity. It's 21 days, 21 lessons. Really, it's just too easy. I would love to have you in the course. Just sign up at freeconfidencecourse.com. And that wraps up episode 23. Thank you so much for taking some time to spend with me today. I really, really do appreciate it. I'm Christina Canters, and this has been Stand Out, Get Noticed.